This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as I mentioned earlier this show, we've got the franchise tag deadline, which is coming up on Tuesday. It's a chance for teams to franchise tag players if they can't work out a deal and then franchise them. And usually how it works is you do end up working on a deal. It buys you some time. There's no gear. You don't play on the franchise tag. Nobody really does. You just work out a deal. It gives you until July to do so. And that's usually what happens. But it also forces the hands, right? If you are the Ravens, for example, and you franchise tag Lamar Jackson on the exclusive franchise tag, it's $45 million that they would have to pay him for the 2023 season. But Lamar Jackson is not going to play on a $45 million at the end of the year you are done sort of deal. He is going to want to go into the 2023 season with some security. I'm not playing on a franchise tag because if I get hurt, I'm going to have no value when I go in to negotiate with other teams. So let's work this out. Now, they could non-exclusive tag him. That would be about 32 and a half. And that would mean that other teams could come in and swoop in and make an offer. But the Ravens could match it, and then they would get, if they don't match it, the other team would have to give them two first-round draft picks. That's what's up at stake. There's a report that the Ravens and Lamar Jackson met in Miami, and they're not coming together on a long-term deal. And the sticking point is the guaranteed money. Now, it's being reported that Jeremy Fowler of ESPN is reporting that the latest was 5 years, $250 million, which would make Lamar Jackson $50 million a year player, but $133 million of that guaranteed. Jackson turned it down, and he should. Because here's the deal. He wants what Deshaun Watson has. He wants more than what Deshaun Watson's getting. Deshaun Watson getting 5 years, 230, right? All 230 of that is guaranteed, okay? Lamar Jackson was just given, according to Jeremy Fowler, a five-year deal at 250. It's the same length of a contract. It's more money in the contract by $20 million. But it's nearly $100 million less in guaranteed money than Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry, but anytime I hear a $100 million difference, unless we're talking about buying Apple, that's a major difference, right? Like, unless we're talking about a deal in the billions and billions of dollars, like if Ron and I were competing to buy the Washington Commanders, and his offer is $100 million more, if you're buying it, you might go, well, I could still sell it to Tony. It's $100 million, but he does this, this, and this. But when we're talking about contract, athlete contracts, $100 million is miles apart. But we're not talking about money in the contract. We're just talking about guaranteed money, which is like money B. It's like there's money A, how much is the contract worth at its full value? And then there's part B, which is how much of it's guaranteed. We're talking about part B of that equation. So the money that they were offering Lamar Jackson is more than what Deshaun Watson is getting. And that's where the Ravens want to go, right? The Ravens have no problems going 5 years, 250. All right, 5 years, 255. All right, 5 years, 260. Right? They can do that. It's they do not want to be the team that gives the second fully guaranteed contract. So they're going to keep that number at 130, 135, 137, 140, but they are not going 250. They are not going 255, 260, whatever the final end result number is on that first line. That's what it is. Now, if you're Deshaun Watson, you might be in a tricky situation. And again, it depends on the player, but if you're Lamar Jackson, how much of the burden of carrying the cause do you want to have in your own personal negotiations? Meaning, do you see yourself as a guy that wants to get the best possible deal, regardless of its overall meaning? Or are you a guy that sees a cause that is larger than yourself? Meaning, I could be the one that sets the standard for quarterback contracts, where it is fully guaranteed for the life of the contract. Do I want to be the guy that sets the wheels in motion? Because as like I said before, the second one sets the standard. Do I want to be that guy? if he does want to be that guy, this could be a really tough haul for him. Because maybe, just maybe, all the other owners are absolutely steadfast in their desire not to see a second guaranteed, fully guaranteed contract. But if he isn't, then what would he take as a percentage of the contract guaranteed? If not 100%, would he take 80%? Would he take 85%? Would he take 70%? What part of that would he take? Because $250 million, $133 million, is just a little over what? 50%, 55%, 52%? It's around there. It's a long way off than 80. But here's the thing. Let's say the Ravens give him a contract where it's 80%. Then somebody's going to give him 85%. There might be another team that's willing to go 90%. And then next thing you know, we're pretty close to 100. Right? So that's the deal tomorrow. As we talked about earlier, Derek Carr is now, what is it now that there's been movement, a little bit more details? Yeah. There's a four-year offer on the table. All right. We'll see if he takes that.
I don't see why he wouldn't.
I don't know why he wouldn't either. I literally, if I was Derek Carr's people, I would be like, make us an offer, make it great, and we will take it today. If this is what we're looking for, make it around this, we'll take it today.
The more I'm thinking about what you said last hour, it's the best division to go to.
Absolutely.
It's
wide open.
I mean, yeah, there's no one there.
There's no Tom Brady. There's no quarterbacks in Carolina. There's no quarterback in Atlanta. Unless you like Desmond Ridder. And there's no quarterback in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So take your pick. Go down there and take it for the Saints, and you've locked in, and the other teams are going to be scrambling for their guy, and they may take a year to find out who that guy is or whatever. Now it's your opportunity to win the division and go to the playoffs.
And it's a good team. You got a good defense. You have Alvin Kamara, who's he's a pass catching running back.
Yep.
So you got that going for you. Wide receivers, I don't even know if they're still.
They might help you in the draft, getting a guy or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know about Michael Thomas anymore.
No. It was so bad I forgot his name. I knew the first name was Michael. Yeah. I was about to say Winslow, and I was like, I know that's not right.
You still have Taysom Hill, the Swiss Army knife?
Yep.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And you're going to an incredible fan base.
Right.
An incredibly loyal fan base.
Who will have your back in good times and bad times.
Exactly. They are there. They will support you. They're not fair weather fans. They love you.
New Orleans as a city just wants stability. That's all we ever know about.
Exactly.
I mean, not just in sports. I'm saying in life, New Orleans wants stability.
Yeah. And by the way, and here's the thing, if you're Derek Carr, again, we say this all the time, but it bears repeating. When you're a quarterback, especially depending on how you view Derek Carr, right? I mean, I know he's not a Super Bowl winner. He's not even a Super Bowl participant. Heck, he's barely a playoff participant. Yep. But he has enough talent to be one of those free agent quarterbacks that if your team needed one, you would be glad to get. We don't see those guys on the open market. And if you're Derek Carr and you realize, hey, you know what? Yeah, would it be better if I was on one team and just getting extensions and whatnot? Sure, but if I'm going to take this opportunity, I want to be treated right in the process. I know who I am. I'm a legitimate starter in a league that doesn't have very many. So I'm not interested in the Jets waiting around for a 38-year-old guy, albeit a Hall of Famer, to make a decision. And the Jets aren't necessarily in the running. He may not want to go to the Jets. And I don't even know if why would I be plan D for the team?
And the Jets are like,
we'd love to have you, but we are waiting on a couple of things. Aaron Rodgers to decide he's going to want to play. If Aaron Rodgers wants to play for us, what are we willing to give up for him? Like, there's so many things, and we'll get back to you. If you're Derek Carr, good luck. I'm playing for New Orleans. See ya. I can go anywhere tomorrow or today, and I'd rather go right now. Let's start it up, Dennis Allen.
I mean, if I'm Derek Carr, the Jets aren't even on the table for me anymore.
Right.
It was about a month ago now, right? Has it been that long, or
Yeah.
Has it been shorter than that? I don't know.
don't know.
But it feels like forever ago when they were like, oh, he's a Hall of Famer. He just needs to be put on the right team, and we've got a Super Bowl winning team already in the mix. We just need that quarterback. And I wouldn't go there at all now just because it's, you know, it's like you didn't do anything except talk.
I wouldn't either. Just head to New Orleans. And
if I'm Derek Carr, look at the two divisions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have a better chance of winning the AFC South, you know, at 500, because we had a team that just did it. Just, you know, they won it below. What? Yeah, the Buccaneers were below 500, right?
Yep. The winner of that division was below 500.
Yeah, and they just won the division below 500. So you could do that easily, or you have to go and compete against the Bills, the Patriots, the Dolphins. I mean, that's a tough, tough division.
Tough division. That's right. Without a doubt. Crazy. Crazy. I'm with you 100%. I think you just do it now and go and just tell the Jets, go pound sand. Thanks for everything. But you
I mean,
what?
I'm trying to figure it out because the NFL Network is sitting there saying, you know, breaking news. You know, they're working on a 4-year deal. And, you know, the ESPN has it saying, like, Derek, you know, Saints signing Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so it's like, is it a foregone conclusion or are we still working it out? Well, what's going on?
We will get the news when it breaks, right? But it is a new angle that they're ready to sign him with a new 4-year deal. So, all right, we'll continue. West Coast Conference Tournament coming up later in this hour. Got some good teams in there, including Gonzaga, a team we've been waiting and waiting and waiting to win national championship. But the team that's on top of that conference in St. Mary's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Connor Letourneau is going to join us from the San Francisco Chronicle. They are competing that championship in Las Vegas. We'll continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about the West Coast Conference Championship semifinals tonight in Las Vegas. Connor Letourneau from the San Francisco Chronicle will join us. So you got tonight's games in that conference. You've got St. Mary's going up against BYU. BYU is playing for their tournament lives, right? But St. Mary's is ranked 17th in the AP poll. You've got them in the top 10 in KenPom. They are a really efficient team, and they've got double-digit scores all around them. And they're the number one seed in this tournament that has been dominated in recent years by Gonzaga. Gonzaga is still a ranked team and 10th in KenPom. They are ranked 10th in the AP poll as well. Here's the thing. Gonzaga, this is great when you can go 26-5 and people are wondering what's wrong with you. Like, that's where Gonzaga is, right? Still one of the better teams. Drew Timmy, they play fast under Mark Few. There's still so many things to like about Gonzaga. But you're like, yeah, why aren't you number one? Aren't you normally number one around this time of year? Aren't you one of those teams that we go, gee, you're going to be the number one overall seed? Are you going to let us down again and lose in the finals or in the final four? That's been Mark Few's Gonzaga over the last couple years. But this year, they're not even the best team in the conference, but they're still a very, very, very good basketball team. And they are going up against San Francisco. So those are the two games in the semifinals in Las Vegas tonight. Las Vegas is a great place to go for a college basketball tournament, by the way. The Mountain West goes there. The Pac-12 goes there. And the West Coast. They've got the venues. They now really have the venues. They're playing at, this one is playing at the Orleans Arena. But now they've got, you know, they've got the Golden Knights that play in T-Mobile Arena. You can use that. Thomas and Mack Center is where UNLV plays. That's a premier arena. But it's a fun place to go. It's a great place for fans to kind of venture and visit. You know, when I was in Denver, I lived in Las Vegas for a few years and then Denver. And I was in Las Vegas when the Mountain West Conference started. So I went to the first conference tournament that was held there. And then a couple of years later, I went to Denver and I made my way back to Vegas. But after it was like 2004 or 5, they decided, you know, we've got Wyoming, we've got Colorado State, we've got Air Force in this conference. You know, Utah's next state over. You know, let's have the Mountain West Conference tournament in Denver. It's a big city, the Pepsi Center. Let's put it in Denver. So they did. And it was fine in Denver. You know, I went to the tournament, covered the tournament. A couple of years later, it went back to Vegas. And the reason was they were getting a lot of complaints from fans going, look, I don't want to go home. Like, I want to go on a trip. like to see my team. Like this, these are the kind of cool things. And like you made this tournament in Denver, which is nice, but I live a half an hour away or I live an hour away or whatever. And it's nice to see my team and sleep in my own bed. But I kind of always looked forward to getting away to a place and seeing the team play. And Vegas was perfect because even after my team would lose in the first round, I kind of stuck around. I turned it into a trip. Hang out by the pool, have a couple of drinks, play some blackjack and leave. Maybe see a show with the wife, whatever. But Vegas became that kind of destination. Now three tournaments are there. The Pac-12 has every right to be outside of Los Angeles now, right? After UCLA and USC is snubbing them for the Big Ten.
Yeah, they're gone.
Like, no, we're not going to L.A. We're not having the tournament in L.A. No. Why not Vegas? Go to Vegas and have a good time. So it's always a good trip. I went 1 year and I got to play one of the golf courses that they modeled all the holes after the British Open. And I actually did it for a story. So they gave me a free round. I had to pay for the caddy though. They said, you want a caddy? You have to pay for that. But they gave me a free round because the caddies were independent contractors. But I did. I said, I'll get a caddy. And that was fun. That was one of my little side trips. So I did a story for a golf show that we were doing on playing that. That was kind of fun. But you know, I love going to conference basketball tournaments. They're kind of neat. But you know what's when you're a fan, Kentucky's notorious for this. If you're a fan, you go to see your team. You're not there to see basketball. You're there to see your team play basketball. Kentucky fans are notorious for this. They would go to Atlanta or they'd go to Nashville or wherever. And if the Wildcats lost, here you go, folks. Here's the tickets. We're leaving. See you later. Do you remember the year they had the tornado in downtown Atlanta years ago? I'm talking like 2008 yeah. and 7. Kentucky, they moved the games. It was there's a great documentary on it, by the way. And it was like this miracle three-pointer. And this miracle three-pointer tied a basketball game between Georgia and whoever they were playing. I forget who they were playing. But what happened was the game went into overtime because of this three-pointer. And so people were inside the Georgia Dome, the old Georgia Dome, staying for that game when a tornado was coming through downtown Atlanta. And they don't even want to speculate what could have happened if that shot had missed. And then everyone decided, all right, we're leaving, and started exiting out of the Georgia Dome into the streets of downtown Atlanta. And then a few minutes later, the tornado came in. So if you remember, there was the Georgia Dome started shaking and they didn't find it structurally sound. So they had to move the games to Georgia Tech's their arena in Atlanta. But Kentucky was in it. And a lot of fans who had come down and bought tickets, they couldn't get in because the arena was much smaller than the Georgia Dome. And they had to go on some system and fans were left out. They had to get refunds and whatnot. As the SEC was trying to get their tournament in when a tornado had come to downtown Atlanta. Cat fans are very good travelers to see their team. But when their team is done, they will be more than happy to give you the tickets that they bought for the event when they can't use them. And it's a great sight. When I used to go to the SEC tournament here in Nashville, it's a great sight to see them. They like you could go outside. And they were just everywhere. Everyone's in Kentucky blue. And you'd see nowadays with the Tennessee orange, it's a great sight. These are really, really cool atmospheres. Nevertheless, they will go on this week. The Big East tournament is in New York City at Madison Square Garden. Always one of the great venues in all of sports. That's fantastic. Greensboro, North Carolina. You know what? I know that the ACC, because they expanded to Syracuse, Boston College, you know, Notre Dame, Louisville, they've had the ACC tournament in New York City, right? But it belongs in North Carolina. It belongs in North Carolina. I'm glad they go to Greensboro. Fantastic. I think Nashville is a perfect place for the SEC tournament. I don't mind Atlanta. I think it's a fine location for the South and the Southeast. I never liked it when I went to New Orleans. I know it's to appease LSU. I didn't like it when I went to Tampa. That's for Florida. But Atlanta seems like a perfect location for it. And the Big 12 is starting to really find a home in Kansas City. That's been a really cool place for them to host that tournament. So these locations are pretty good. The Big East, not the Big East, the Big 12, I'm sorry, the Big 10. I'm going to write the third time. The Big 10 is in Chicago. That's a good place. It used to be in Indianapolis. They had in Indianapolis for a couple of years. Now it's in Chicago. That's a great location. So these are fun weeks. If you're a college basketball fan, they are fun, fun weeks. You get to see a little desperation. You get to see teams making moves. Some teams are really desperate going into these things, and some teams are not desperate going into this. You know, some teams are very, very secure, but they still want to win it because it's their conference that they dominate and whatnot. But then you'll hear the old sort of conversation that we get in sports. Is it better to be out of your conference tournament early when you have a secure spot, knowing that your resume is good enough to get one of the bids? And you, let's say you're one of the top four seeds, so this is not going to affect you. And then you rest up and you prepare. Or do you want your guys fired up in competitive tournament mode, in sort of a do or die situation as best it possibly can get it without the actual finality of it? Do you want that atmosphere? Do you want that desperation of a title right there in their grasp so that when you get to the tournament, they are ready to go? Yeah, maybe. It's always back and forth. I've seen John Calipari teams win that SEC tournament and use it to springboard into a good little run. I've also seen them win the SEC tournament and, you know, fail down the end. There's really no answer. It just depends on personal preference. But Houston had a nice win yesterday.
They did.
Nice big win. Our good friend Jeremy Brannon on the call with that one as Houston won their regular season. They get ready for the AAC one. What else in college hoops? Tennessee will be without Zakai Ziegler, their point guard. I hope that doesn't totally affect them, but you can't replace a kid like him. He's been fantastic. Can I give props to Texas? They have done a fantastic job losing their head coach, Chris Beard. They have been absolutely great.
That's a weird way to put it, but yeah.
I know. To a circumstance where he was accused of physical violence against his fiance, she retracted that, but nevertheless, school said, we don't care.
Yep.
We're not playing around with this. This is not even going to be a discussion, and you're gone. And it was his alma mater. It was his dream job, but they have done fine without him. One of the top teams in the country. I'm still applying for Marquette, man. I'm still on that Marquette train.
I know. I thought of you this weekend because they had a televised game.
And yeah,
I
did.
Put it on. Played, I put it on for a little bit, and I was
like, DePaul, I think.
Yeah, and yeah. I was thinking, Tony's probably watching this because this is his team.
This is the team I've picked,
which might be a little bit better than mine, Kennesaw State. But we'll see.
But you're Kennesaw
we'll
State.
See. I'm riding Cinderella.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the Marquette Golden Eagles. Cam Jones, Tyler Kolick, and a couple of other guys on the Golden Eagles. That's the only two really I know. But I still like the way they play. All right, we will talk West Coast Conference Tournament. Four games tonight in the semifinals, including Gonzaga and St. Mary's.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue it as Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. As we were mentioned earlier, we've had conference tournaments going on last week. We're getting more conference tournaments in some of the bigger conferences this week. The West Coast Conference Tournament goes on in Las Vegas tonight. Two semifinal games, including two teams ranked in the top 10, Gonzaga and St. Mary's. Let's go to our Progressive guest line. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Connor Letourneau joins us from the San Francisco Chronicle covering the West Coast Conference Tournament. How are you, Connor?
Hey, good. How are you? Thanks
good.
For
thank
me.
You. All right. We were kind of making this fun conversation today about Gonzaga. It must be great to go 26-5. Everybody wants to know what's wrong with you because you're not the number one team in the country like they've had in the past. But nevertheless, can you give us an idea of Gonzaga's season this year? What were some of the things that are different, and what are some of the things that they've taken a little bit of a step back from where they've been nearly at the top of the pack in college basketball?
Yeah, I just think they've been a little bit more inconsistent on both sides of the ball. You know, what was so great about them in those years where they made the national championship was they won every single game that they were supposed to win, it felt like.
Right.
And they were supposed to win almost every game. But, you know, this year they've had a couple bad losses. You know, Loyola Marymount is the first one that kind of comes to mind. You know, that Loyola Marymount ended up being a much better team in the WCC than a lot of people thought. They have wins now over both Gonzaga and St. Mary's. But, you know, that never would have happened in past years. I don't think this team is quite as deep. You know, they're a little bit top heavy. You know, when you look at their rotations and things like that, but, I think that people are almost overplaying how quote unquote down they are. I mean, you know, this is still a really good team that I think has a legitimate chance to win a national championship. And people are acting like this is just like the worst Gonzaga team ever. I mean, that says something about the program, though, right? When you're so good that you're almost a victim of your own success.
Yeah, I know. They're still in the top 10, right? I mean, they're still highly ranked in KenPom and everything else. It's just that people go, weren't they number one overall for like 5 years in a row? There's a feeling like they've just always been a team that is on the top. And then when they're not, there's like, what's wrong? But you're right. National championships can come from anywhere, and they certainly can come if you're a top 10 team in the country.
Oh, 100%. I mean, they have one of the best players in the country in Tim and Drew, and they have a real shot. Now, do I think St. Mary's could win the WCC tournament? Do I think St. Mary's might arguably be a better team this year? I do, but yeah. You know, this is a really wide open year. It could be one of any 10 or 11 teams, and Gonzaga is definitely one of those.
How efficient is St. Mary's? They've got four guys who average double figures. They seem to spread the ball around. What's their style of play, and who are the guys that really make the St. Mary's Gales go?
Yeah, you know, the thing about St. Mary's is they're a team that has had a couple stars over the years that we're all very familiar with, like Patty Mills, Matthew Della Vedova. But generally speaking, they often get it done with these kind of lesser-known guys, guys who've stayed in the program for 3 or 4 years. They have guys who don't play a lot as a freshman, and then come, you know, year 3 or 4, they start to kind of pop. But this year, they have somewhat of an aberration in that they have Ada Mahaney, a local kid out of right down the road from Moraga, out of Camp Lindo High, who's just really emerged on the national scene and been arguably their best player. He's really formed a nice 1-2 punch for Logan Johnson, another Bay Area guy. You know, obviously St. Mary's is known for their Australia connection, but this year their two best guys are from the Bay Area, which is kind of cool. And I think those guys are just phenomenal shot makers that complement each other really well. They're both point guards, but they both have a good understanding of when to pass, when to shoot. And then you look at the rest of their roster, you know, they have a nice mix of size and shooting. And, you know, the thing about St. Mary's is they do the exact same thing year in and year out. No matter what their personnel is, they grind it out. They have a slow pace. They run pretty much the same offensive sets and defensive system every single year. Opponents know exactly what they're going to get from St. Mary's. But St. Mary's is phenomenal at executing it, and they're incredibly well coached. I think Randy Bennett's one of the best coaches in the country. I think he's underrated to this day. And I really think that this could be the best St. Mary's team ever.
I'm with you. I've always find teams like that a little dangerous. Those teams that really, really can control tempo. If you can be successful at that, that makes a really dangerous team in the tournament.
Oh, 100%. I mean, a lot of teams that have a slow pace, they just kind of hold on to the ball and then they take whatever shot they can get late in the shot clock. But it seems like they always get really good shots late in the shot clock. Yeah, they just really understand what they're doing, and they don't kind of mess around. And that can be scary, you know. What I'm interested to see with St. Mary's is how do they handle teams that are more kind of ISO heavy.
Right.
Teams that can kind of beat them one-on-one, teams that are more athletic than them, that's when they can get into trouble. But they're just so good at executing what they do that I really think that they have a shot, you know, to go far. I mean, this is a team, as successful as they've been, they've only made it past the first weekend of the NCAA tournament once under Randy Bennett, and that was in 2010. And I very much think that they could do it for the first time since 2010 this year.
We talked about the two teams on top of this conference. There are two teams playing tonight to try to keep their hopes alive of winning this thing and getting an automatic bid. But does either one of these teams, is there anything else? Is there something about BYU or San Francisco that they need to show? Are they on the bubble? Are they out of the bubble? How have the bracket guys viewed those two teams in terms of their resume so far?
Yeah, I don't think either of them is an NCAA tournament team. I don't think either of them is particularly close. In fact, I don't think USF's even an NIT team. BYU's probably an NIT team, but I'd have to take a deeper look at that. But I think that both of these teams would probably need to win the win the WCC tournament to make the NCAA tournament, and that feels incredibly unlikely. This just feels like a year where it's truly a top two, you know, it's truly a two-bid league. You know, St. Mary's and Gonzaga have been in a world of their own, a class of their own. Santa Clara had a really nice run there late in the regular season and felt like they might have a chance to pull something off, but to go out and lose in their first game in the WCC tournament to USF, they're looking like an NIT team. USF is a team that I was really excited about entering the season. Obviously, they made their first tournament in 24 years last year. You know, they promoted their assistant, Chris Gerlofson. And then they had a really good offseason. They went and got all these transfers, like high-profile transfers. And they just haven't been as good as I thought they were going to be for whatever reason. Now, maybe they could surprise us, but I really would be shocked if they pulled off the upset against Gonzaga.
Yeah. What about from BYU's standpoint? It's two kind of close games against St. Mary's. I know one was at least 1 point. I think the other was 7 or 8. So is there any desperation angle that the Cougars have tonight where they've played this team twice and felt like there was a level of competitiveness against St. Mary's?
Yeah, I mean, BYU is kind of like St. Mary's in the sense that they kind of do the same stuff every year, and they're always going to at least be good, you know. And
they have
these guys who are older, more seasoned than their opponents. And yeah, it wouldn't shock me if they beat St. Mary's. I think it's much more plausible that BYU beats St. Mary's than USF beats Gonzaga. And keep in mind that, you know, this is BYU's last game. This is their last year ever, potentially last game ever in the WCC. And, you know, that can be kind of an added motivation. You know, we want to end this run on a high note.
Right. Let's go back to Gonzaga for a second and just the larger picture with them. It's how much does Mark Few deflect or embrace the national championship pressure that he has had built at that program for the last couple of years?
I think he's handled it as well as you can, you know, but every year that goes by and they make it far and don't win a national championship, it becomes more and more of a conversation. You know, that definitely feels like it's the last thing they need to do to really solidify themselves as one of the all time great programs. I feel like you're not hearing that as much this year, just because I don't think very many people expect them to even be in that conversation this year. They're just not as good as past teams. But, you know, it's such a wide open year. Like, anything could happen. There's no team as good as that Baylor team that routed them, you know, a couple years ago.
Yep.
Like, that team does not exist this year. So it could happen.
Connor, good stuff, my man. Appreciate it. Enjoy Las Vegas and the semifinal games tonight at the Orleans Arena for the WCC tournament. Appreciate your time.
Of course. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it. Connor Letourneau, San Francisco Chronicle. And yeah, it's been amazing. We're going to talk a little bit about this, but we do have that news about Derek Carr that we want to get to coming up. Looks like it is solidified that he will be a New Orleans Saint, so we'll talk about that. But I do want to address the Gonzaga pressure situation when we come back, because again, a team that is still in the top 10 is being looked at as, yeah, what's going on with you? What's wrong? But they did it.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Connor Letourneau on our progressive guest line from the WCC conference, the tournament out in Las Vegas. So here's the thing about Gonzaga, and we'll get to the NFL in a bit, but I want to touch on Mark Few's situation because that was the last question I asked him. So Gonzaga's had this rare thing that we see in sports, and especially because it can't really happen on a professional level, because professional teams, they're built, they have tools to win. They're built to win. They're going after the same players. They're going after the same talent pool. Maybe you could talk about Major League Baseball, like there's budget constraints in Pittsburgh and Kansas City. But what I'm talking about is a college that went from super Cinderella story, meaning we're not a blue blood. We don't have a deep tradition. We don't have, before basketball was a thing, we were good at it, right? Like Kansas. Like we have a real Cinderella story that didn't disappear, right? Think of all the Cinderella stories you can think of in, let's say, 20 years, right? Go back through all of them. Florida Gulf Coast, George Mason. I mean, the list goes on. Valparaiso. The list goes on. St. Peter's. You can come up with a bunch of them, right? Gonzaga was one of those schools, right? Where if you were a super fan, you knew where they were located. If you were an NBA fan, you knew that John Stockton went there, right? Like the average person filling out a bracket, like, college basketball's here. I guess I'll fill out a bracket for my office pool. Had to look up what their mascot was, right? So they go from that, where they got Adam Morrison crying, right? Just, I think, beat UCLA that one year. They go from Cinderella to a real every year power. Now, that doesn't happen very often, because traditionally, you think of college basketball, you think of UCLA, Kentucky, Kansas, UConn has been around a while. Duke has been one team that's been around for 40 years, right? North Carolina. I can list all of the teams that have had the presence in the tournament, and they're, again, top programs. Gonzaga went from nobody knew who we were to being consistently in the conversation to win a national title. Cinderella days are long gone. And we're talking 98, 99. You know, where those, they're long gone. Then you switch to, okay, we've now crossed that Rubicon. We now think you're one of the premier powers in college basketball. Two, now we need to see you win a championship. Right? And they haven't been able to do it. They've been very close. They lost, to Baylor. They lost to North Carolina. They've got, they were a team that get to a Final Four, can't close out the deal. They beat, they beat my South Carolina Gamecocks in Gamecocks' only appearance, men's appearance in the Final Four. So now they're at the presence. It is so bizarre to watch the media, the national media, or even some fans, look at this team and go, oh, well, what's been wrong with Gonzaga? Well, they've only lost 5 games this year. I mean, they enter tonight's contest on a 7-game win streak. They're 26-5. Right? And the teams they lost to, yeah, they lost to Loyola Marymount. That's not a good loss for them. But losing to St. Mary's in overtime, that's a top 25 team. They lost to Baylor earlier this season. That's a top 25 team. They lost to Purdue earlier this season. That's a top 3 team. They lost to Texas this season. That's a top 10 team. And at the time they were playing them, they were ranked higher. So when you lose to Texas, Purdue, Baylor, and St. Mary's, these are games that are very excusable. Their only loss this season that you go, Loyola Marymount. So people are like, what's wrong with Gonzaga? Well, nothing's wrong with Gonzaga, right? They lost all of those 4 games. Not one of them was played in Spokane. 2 neutral site games and 2 away games. And yet the perception is, man, Mark Few doesn't have the team this year. He doesn't? Really? Are you sure? Because if they win this, they'll beat St. Mary's on the way, because I agree with Connor. I don't think BYU or San Francisco is going to win these games tonight. College basketball, you never know what happens, but not likely. So Gonzaga, if they win this, likely going to beat St. Mary's. And then fuse in a tournament with a bunch of other really good teams, and we'll see where the dice rolls. But there's no reason to think that there's something way off because they're not the number one overall seed like we've seen them in years past. All right, so we broke the news this morning that it looked like Derek Carr is very close to signing with the New Orleans Saints. That is now being confirmed all over the place. In fact, on Twitter, Carr tweeted out this morning, "Who dat?" So the New Orleans Saints look like they have landed. Derek Carr is their starting quarterback. Carr had a miserable year last year. Didn't throw for very many yards, 3,500. Did throw 14 interceptions. He was let go two games prior to the end of the season. The Raiders wanted to go in another direction. But they also did him a favor. They kept him healthy because they knew they were going to part ways with him. They were kind of wondering, would they get a trade? Could they settle on a trade? But Carr said, no, I'm going to be an unrestricted free agent. That's what he got out of the deal. And now he got to sign with any team at any point. They didn't have to wait for a certain period. He went to go visit the Jets. They sort of told him how awesome he was, but they didn't want to pull the trigger on a deal yet, and the Saints did. He's got a relationship with Dennis Allen, the head coach of the Saints. He was with the Raiders when Carr was drafted there. The Saints have been dealing with Andy Dalton at quarterback. Jameis Winston is in his final year, so the time is perfectly right for the New Orleans Saints to land a new franchise guy. They still have Taysom Hill. Michael Thomas likely will come back. There's some things to like about the New Orleans Saints, and they should like him. They should like him in an absolutely barren conference when it comes to quarterback, and an even barrener barren than if that's a term, and it's not. Division.
I mean, there's nothing quarters.
Yeah, I'm going to use it. It's not a term, but I'll make it up because it's. I can't like. It's like more deserty than a desert. Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm trying to think of things like that, right? It is quarterback dry in the the NFC. It is quarterback drier in the NFC South. Look at me making up phrases, butchering the English language. I'm like Travis Kelce. You can fail English and host a radio show. But I didn't get suspended from college for marijuana, for tested positive for marijuana. And I'm not the host of Saturday Night Live. So good for Travis Kelce. But this is good news for the Saints. They should be happy with this. Derek Carr can be a difference maker for them. Derek Carr had a bad year, no doubt. But he's still a very solid quarterback. And again, when you're looking at the division and you're saying, what's the number one thing that we have over the other three, and it's quarterback? Yeah, it's a good position for the Saints to be in right now. They should be the favorites to win the division unless we see something develop between the Panthers, Falcons, and Buccaneers. Look, if the Falcons get Lamar Jackson, then it's a game changer, right? Then we're looking at something different.
Look at some of the other quarterbacks. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's still floating around out
still
there.
Still floating around, right? If he lands at Tampa Bay or if he lands in Carolina.
Wouldn't that be crazy if he went to Tampa following Brady's footsteps?
That would be great. I could only dream of something like that.
And then there's that other guy, Baker Mayfield. Keep your eyes out for him.
Baker Mayfield, he's got have gun, will travel, right? I can come in and be your emergency QB.
I could be your everything.
I could be your everything. Yeah. So again, we'll see how this plays out in terms of the other teams vying for their quarterback situation. I mean, yeah, Lamar Jackson, if he gets exclusive franchise tag, I expect Arthur Blank to make a phone call. Absolutely. He's totally going to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers try to do the same thing. Right. But Derek Carr being a New Orleans Saints, it's good for Derek Carr because he's out of an AFC loaded conference of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Jets, sure. If you going to the Jets would have been fine. New York market, the Jets have a great defense. There's a lot of things to like about the Jets. But again, even if he played well, he may not be Buffalo Bills good. He might not even be Dolphins good, like with Tua. Who knows? Right? Like,
may struggle against the Patriots because I'm not looking at Mac Jones. I'm looking at Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, right.
I know he's not on the field, but he's a mastermind.
He's finding a way to love Bailey Zappi, isn't he? I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah, bring Zappi back.
Yeah, bring Zappi back.
We all like Zappi Hour.
Even if you are one of the competitive teams in the AFC East, you are still got Burrow. You still got Mahomes. Jackson could be a Raven, right? You have a lot of – this is – Saints should be a playoff team because in order to make the playoffs, you win the division, and they should win the division, unless something changes in the next day, week, month, whatever it is.
This is one of those deals you look at. It's like it's a win-win for both.
It's a win-win.
Both parties.
Yeah.
I mean, the Saints finally get their guy because they've been fishing ever since Drew Brees left. You know, Jameis just hasn't worked out. Come on, don't tell me that you're going to roll Andy Dalton back out there.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Constantly forget he was a Saint.
Yep. Completely.
And it's
all right.
A perfect fit for Derek Carr.
The Lombardi Line's coming up next here on Sports Map Radio. We'll see you tomorrow with more on the NFL. And again, as the conference tournament's starting bubbling up, we will have that covered for you as well. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Back on Tuesday, it's Wake Up Call. Tony D and Ron Culver, glad you could be with us.